And we're live.
Welcome back, everyone. Episode 83 of Kids Deserve It. We hope you've been enjoying our weekly chats with educators and game changers from around the country. Also, don't forget, you can check us out on iTunes.
And while you're checking us out on iTunes, make sure you leave us a review on any iTunes episode of your choice as we select a winner each week to send a Kids Deserve It gift package to.
Also, don't forget to join our Kids Deserve It chat on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Central Standard and 6 p.m. Pacific Time. This week, we got another great guest, but first we want to introduce ourselves. I am Adam Welcome, Director of Innovation in the Bay Area of California.
I'm Todd Nasloni, Elementary School Principal in Navasota, Texas. And I'm thrilled this week to have our special guest, CJ Reynolds, on with us. CJ, thanks for being a guest this week.
Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it, guys.
We also want to remind our viewers that you can participate in social media using the hashtag #KidsDeserveIt, whether you are watching this episode live or listening to it later. We love seeing the things that stick out to you.
So CJ, we got a few questions for you, man. So for those that don't know about you, tell us about yourself.
My name is CJ Reynolds. I'm a teacher in West Philadelphia. I teach ninth grade, and this will be my 12th year teaching. I teach ninth grade literature, and I teach a hip hop elective, the history of hip hop. And so I've been in West Philly for a while. Before that, I taught in Camden, New Jersey, and I have a YouTube channel called Real Rap with the Reynolds, and that's been going on for about a year now as well. And so that's, in a nutshell, that's who I am.
So, you know, you mentioned the YouTube channel. You've got quite the popular channel. Can you kind of tell us about that and how that got started?
You know, it's funny. So that got started because my son wanted a YouTube channel. And so when I became a dad, I knew that I feel like you're either the dad you always wanted or the dad that you had. And so I wanted to be the dad that I always wanted. And so I knew that anything my kids were interested in, I was going to be interested in. If they liked monster truck rallies, like I was going to get all hyped up about monster truck rallies. And it turns out that YouTube was what my son wanted to do. So I started learning how to edit and how to film and all of this stuff. And it was really funny because then his interest kind of waned. And I thought, I learned all this stuff. I'm not going to stop doing it. Like, so I started thinking about the fact that YouTube didn't exist when I started teaching, and not like in a way that it does now. And there's a tiny child creeping in on you, and I'm kind of loving it. So that's the story of my life, man. So I think someone crawled behind me.
But I anyway, saw that a minute ago.
Yeah, YouTube. I wished when I started teaching that stuff existed for me, for the type of teacher I wanted to be. I felt like there were a lot of blogs and ebooks, but not for the type of teacher that I wanted to be. And so I just started creating content and trying to help people as best I could to be the kind of teachers that they really wanted to be.
Nice. So where do you draw your inspiration from? I mean, especially for teaching, like, did you always know you wanted to teach? And like, how do you bring that all together in your classroom?
No, I never wanted to teach. I didn't even like school when I was a kid. And so that was funny that it was sort of the collection of all of the things that I was doing before teaching that kind of led into that. So I wanted to be a carpenter when I was a little kid. I wanted to be a drummer, and I did that for years. I wanted to be a clown for a short period of time, and that's a way to really make your family get behind you, rally, and support you. So then I thought I'd be a priest for a minute, and then I met my wife, and she kind of ruined that idea because I couldn't be married and be a priest at the same time. But someone suggested teaching, and I thought, I love reading. I had a degree in English that I couldn't think of anything else to do with. And so I just, that was kind of, if I put all those things together, it kind of seemed like a no-brainer. And so that's when I just began teaching after that. It gave me a place to like kind of be on stage, love people where they are, teach what I loved, and it was great. And so then from there, I mean, my inspiration really always comes from the kids, because I found out maybe in my first year of teaching that if I tried to come up with all the lessons or teach from a place of just thinking about what I was interested in, that didn't mean the kids were going to be interested in it. So I just started asking the kids, like, well, what kind of books would you read? If we have to read a book, what would you want to read? If we have to study poetry, what kind of poetry would you like to do? What kind of projects are you interested in? And so we just took it from there, and it's worked for me ever since.
Nice. Love it.
I love you talking about that. And, you know, before the show started, we talked about you just connecting with your freshmen and some of the seniors that you've worked with, things like that. So thinking about, you know, we've got a lot of educators who watch this show. What kind of advice would you give to teachers who may be struggling to connect with their students?
I think, you know, we always have to remember to meet kids where they are and not where we want them to be. And so I watch awful, awful TV shows just because my kids like them. So back in the day, I watched episodes of Jersey Shore, and then I kind of got secretly addicted to Jersey Shore. But that was because my kids liked it. And so my vocab lessons would be wrapped around like that week's drama on Jersey Shore, and that's how we would break down our vocabulary. Or last year, I started watching Love and Hip Hop, which is pretty much maybe the worst show I've ever seen in my life. But I watched it because my students liked it, and that got me more interested in or let me learn who they were. And so between that and I eat lunch with my students every day. My room's always open for anyone to eat lunch with me. I eat with about 30 kids every day. And it just gives me the opportunity to like meet the kids who they are and not just talk about class stuff, but talk about what interests you, what's going on at home. Do you like school? Do you like reading? What movies do you like? And that stuff just helps you connect with kids. And it is my number one classroom management tool, because if you know students, then they're not going to get under your skin like they normally would, or they're not going to challenge you, I don't think, in the same ways.
Yep. Without a doubt. So, CJ, I saw the episode of Ask Gary V when you called in, and he was like, well, can you come out, man? So for people that don't know who Gary Vaynerchuk is, he's this entrepreneur, like came from nothing, like all over YouTube and social media. But you had the opportunity to bring some of your students to VaynerMedia headquarters in Manhattan, which I saw that episode too, and was just huge. And can you talk about just, you know, bringing your students to see that kind of environment and just have that interaction with someone who's a global person, and like maybe like what that did for your kids and you, and just perspective and such? Like,
sure. So it was funny when that happened. I had been trying to reach out to Gary Vaynerchuk for a while, and we kind of like had some near misses where like I thought I had him like showing up to my school, or I could meet with him or something. And that phone call, when he offered that, I knew immediately the kids that I wanted to take. And so I got to pick 9 students, and I picked a lot of kids that, you know, quite frankly, like some of my colleagues just sort of like rolled their eyes, like, you're taking that dude with you? And I'm like, yeah, this is like, I don't know if I'm going to win with this, but I'm taking these guys anyway. Mm-hmm. And so I picked those 9. We went up there, and I was nervous because my guys are a real hard sell. They'll smell out someone who's fake in a second because, I don't know, that's just, it's part of who they are. And so when we went into that office, he sends a really nice bus to pick us up, and it had flat screen TV. So they were already like a little bit impressed at like the kind of bus that we got. And we get to the building, and we get taken up on this elevator that goes up like 25 floors in 10 seconds because they counted it. And they were kind of amazed by that. But then we get in the room, and Gary walks in. And, you know, I'll tell you, he talked with us for an hour.
Wow.
They were silent. I mean, like transfixed. And I know, and I mean, you get to know your students in school, right? Like, you know who can pay attention and who can't. And the guys that I had that could not pay attention to even my best lessons or anything else in the school were lasered in. And then he pushed another meeting back after that so that he could spend more time with us, took pictures with all the guys, did one-on-one meetings with the students, and after that went to everyone in his office, like just took the time. Like if someone went up and said, hey, what are you working on? I noticed that program from school. They would stop what they were doing and talk to the kids. And, you know, afterwards, speaking to the students, they just said, I had one guy say, there's no way, who I know is into some bad stuff. He said, I don't know that I need all this, but I know that after leaving here, I can go home and be a better me. Like, there's no way I can go back to the street and do the same exact thing. And really, as a teacher, like, that's the stuff you dream about kids saying. Yeah. And to have a 1-hour meeting with some guy that no one ever met, who's about like almost half my height, it was really impressive. It was, nice. I was sold. It was amazing.
Love that. Love it.
So CJ, what was it like growing up for you?
School for me, I grew up in a blue-collar family. Everyone just assumed that you were going to go into the union when you were done school. I was raised by my mom's side of the family. My father passed away when I was young, so I didn't really see that side of the family. And no men on that side of the family ever graduated from high school. So there wasn't a lot of concern about school. So I just kind of grew up liking my friends and enjoying my time at school, but I didn't really care about school. So it's really funny that I became a teacher all these years later.
Love that. So who is someone that inspires or challenges you to be better?
I think the folks that I work with, I have really close relationships with the people that I work with, and they challenge me to be better every day because they're going to see who you are, right? Like I can portray one person on YouTube, but if I'm not really that person at school, then they're going to know it and they're going to, you know, dog me for it. And, you know, when I think about that question often, I think, you know, both my parents died when I was very young. And so that really just motivates me to have the best possible life that I can and give my students so whether it's the best dad, whether it's the best teacher or husband, because that I feel like when you're young and you lose someone, you kind of are let in on a little secret, which is like, we're not all going to be here forever. And so you need to make the most of the time that you have. And that's been inspiring me for years. That's how I go.
Nice.
So obviously, you know, all of us have those rough days, those days that are really difficult to get out of bed or we just don't feel like it. When you're having one of those days or those moments, what are you going to do to kick your butt into gear?
I get asked that a lot by first year teachers. And I think there's a couple of things I do. One, I sometimes just decide that I'm going to have a great day, that no matter what happens in school, I'm just going to decide that's going to be awesome. And then there's a couple ways that I pull that off. One, I have friends at school. I talk with my friends. I make sure that I tell them how I'm feeling and just need an empathetic ear sometimes to listen to how things are going. Sometimes I'll just do really silly stuff, which I'm kind of known for at school anyway, but you know, if you're having a bad day and you start blowing bubbles in the hallway, like people love that stuff. It makes everyone's day better around you. Sometimes the older kids are too cool to like appreciate it, but eventually you whittle them down and they can't help but like pop some bubbles. And once you pop one bubble, you can't not pop like 10 more. Or I'll play music in class, like behind someone reading a journal entry, or if we're reading a play, I'll play a little bit of music behind that. And it just makes everything more fun around you. And so if I can change that space around me, one around me, which can't help but have an effect on me as well.
Yeah. All right, CJ. Every week we like our guests to leave a challenge for our viewers. What is your challenge for the week?
I would say when you go back to school this year, find that one teacher or student that thinks that they're alone and let them know that they're not. And so your radar needs to be up to do this all the time because of all the madness that goes on at school. But maybe walk through the cafeteria and find that kid that looks like they're sitting alone and just sit with them for a second or put your hand on their shoulder and say hello or invite them to eat in your room if they would like to. And do the same thing with other teachers, you know, especially new teachers who will hold up in their room and they never leave because they are under a pile of work. Like just stop in and say what's up or tell them how nice their room is. And I think that goes a long way to creating a school culture that like everyone wants to be a part of and work in.
Love that. I love that. Well, CJ, thank you so much for being a guest this week. I know you're busy too, so we appreciate your time.
Rad, I really appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much for having me on.
We want to also thank all of our viewers for watching the show or listening. We want to remind you to tweet us using the hashtag #KidsDeserveIt. We also encourage you to go onto iTunes and leave a review and make sure you include your Twitter handle so we can contact you about our prize package. Make sure you join our Twitter chat every Wednesday, and we will see everyone with next week's episode.